Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 10. And chapter 10 is titled The Lord's Return to Jagannath Puri. So the first 11 texts do not have a purport. So I will chant the text and then read the translation, and then we will chant this one, we'll chant together. Text number 12. Text 1. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is compared to a cloud that pours water on the fields of grain, which are like devotees suffering due to a shortage of rain. Separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a drought. But when the Lord returns, His presence is like a nectarian rain that falls on all the grains and saves them from perishing. Text 2. Translation. All glories to Lord Chaitanya. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Text 3. Translation. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for South India, King Pratap Rudra called Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to his palace. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met with the king offered him a seat with all respects and inquired about news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The king said to the Bhattacharya, I have heard that a great personality has come from Bengal and is staying at your home. I have also heard that he is very, very merciful. Translation. I have also heard that this great personality has shown you great favor. At any rate, this is what I hear from many different people. Now, being merciful upon me, you should do me the favor of arranging an interview. The Bhattacharya replied, all that you have heard is true, but as far as an interview is concerned, it is very difficult to arrange. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the renounced order and is very much detached from worldly affairs. He stays in solitary places, and even in dreams, he does not grant interviews to a king. Still, I would have tried to arrange your interview, but he has recently left to tour South India. The king asked, why has he left Jagannath Puri? The Bhattacharya replied, such are the pastimes of a great personality. Great saints go to holy places of pilgrimage in order to purify them. For that reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visiting many tirthas and delivering many, many conditioned souls. And now we come to text number 12, translation. Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. Purport. It's a very short purport. This verse, spoken by Maharaj Yudhishthir to Vidura in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, chapter 13, text 10. Is also quoted in the Adi Leela, chapter 1, text 63. And that is the purport. So, Om Adnyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So this verse is originally from Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 13. It's a conversation between Maharaj Yudhishthir and Vidura. Vidura was kicked out of the kingdom by Duryodhan, because Duryodhan thought that Vidura is conspiring against him and he is favorable to the Pandavas. So he was kicked out. And Vidura did not, actually, he did not push back. He accepted it. He left. He left to visit different places of pilgrimage. Tirtha Yatra. And after the war was over, he returned. So this is Yudhishthir, who is now the king. He is welcoming Vidura, his uncle, back. And he's asking, what are the places of pilgrimage that you visited? But instead of asking a question like that, he is asking a little bit of a strange question. He is asking a question, which places of pilgrimage did you purify? What do? When we go to places of pilgrimage, we go there to purify whom? Ourselves. And here Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, what places of pilgrimage did you visit to purify them, to purify those places? Now the context of this verse is that King Jivadev Prataparudra Gajapati, that's his full name, King of Orissa, King of Puri, he calls upon Vasudev Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is one of his ministers whom he consults. And he's asking Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I've heard that there is a great sannyasi in Puri. He's referring to Lord Chaitanya. I would like to see him. Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi had a vow that he would not have any private audience with either those who are aristocratic or women. Women because he's a sannyasi, he is a renunciate, he's celibate, he's a monk. And aristocrats because aristocrats are indulgent. Generally speaking, they indulge in all kinds of merriments of the world. So that is why he had a vow not to engage in audience with these two. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, dear king, you want to see him, but it is unlikely that he would see you. And moreover, he is not even here. He is in South India. And the king says, that is strange. Why would somebody leave a place like Jagannath Puri to go to South India? Why did you not stop him? Why did he leave in the first place? So in reply to that question, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is answering this. He's saying, if you read this verse, every word is so beautiful. Yudhishthira Maharaj is telling Vidura, Bhavadvidha, individuals like you, Bhavadvidha, individuals like you, Bhagavatah. Actually, Bhagavatah is the word, but the visarga at the end, ha is, because of the joining of the word, it becomes sa. So Bhagavatas, you read there. It is Bhagavataha. So Bhavadvida Bhagavataha. Great souls, great devotees like you, Tirtha Bhutaha. They are themselves Tirtha. They are themselves a holy place of pilgrimage. Swayam Vibho, Vibho, O great personality. Sometimes, you see in the scripture, Vibho is referred to as God, because he is great. Bhagwan is referred to as God. But also Vyasadeva is referred to as Bhagwan. Also some great kings are referred to as Bhagwan, because they are greatly respectable. So here, Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho, you yourself are Tirtha Bhuta. You yourself are embodiment, literally Tirtha Bhuta means you are a Mahabhagavata who is embodiment of a Tirtha. That means there is no difference between you and a Tirtha. What is the quality of Tirtha? It purifies whoever comes in touch with the Tirtha. Similarly, a Bhagavata is he or she who purifies whoever comes in touch with them. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. So not only that. Tirthi kurvanti. You purify tirthani. You purify the tirthas. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. So one might ask how? How does a Bhagavata, a devotee, have the power to purify tirthas? Anyone can answer that? How has somebody become so powerful? See, what are tirthas? Tirthas are, generally speaking, places where the Lord performed his pastimes. Lord Chaitanya performed his pastimes in Navadvip. So Navadvip is a tirtha, holy place. Even Prabhupada says, even in other religions, Jesus was born in Jerusalem, so Jerusalem is a tirtha. For example, for the Christians. So, where God or his special devotees appear and have pastimes, that is a tirtha. Where Krishna is born, that is a tirtha. Where he had his pastimes, that is a tirtha. So, how can some individual purify that tirtha? So, what is the answer? Yes.
The sins of the people that are deposited there, they are removed when the sin comes to that place.
Beautiful. Yes. So you are telling me what the saint does. He removes the sins that are deposited by the people in the Tirtha. But how has he got the power to do that? He is the external representation of the Tirtha, yes. Okay. That is also correct, but I'm looking for a... Yes. There you go. The last line answers it. What is the answer? Swantaha. Swaantaha. Within him, sthena. Sthena is residing. Constantly. Who is residing in his heart constantly? Gadabhrita. Gada means one who has gada. Bhrita means one who carries gada. So the acharyas have written beautiful commentary. They say, you see, what do you use the gada for? Smashing. Correct. Chakra is used for chopping. Chopping the head off demons. But gada is used for smashing. And gada especially is used like a bat. You know, you would use a bat. If those who play cricket or something, you know, you hit. Similarly, imagine something is really stuck somewhere and you want to get rid of it. Then you will take a stick or a bat or a mace and you will just hit it to get rid of it. This is the description the acharyas give. There are so many sins deposited in the tirthas by the sinful who go there. They offload their sins. And the saintly person who carries this holder of gada, in their heart. Because the Lord is in their heart, they are able to clean that place of the sins. So the question arises, is the Lord not in our heart? Your answer is correct, but then I have confusion. So do I not have Paramatma? So Lord is also in my heart. So what is the meaning? Or you tell me that I don't have the Lord in my heart. One of the two. Yes, Prabhu. Paramatma is in everyone's heart, yes. For devotees, it's Krishna directly. You're losing your voice, but your spirit is very powerful. This is perfect answer given by the Acharyas. We have Paramatma, yes. But the Paramatma is sitting there. There are two birds on the tree. One is eating, the other one is watching. The Paramatma is there observing. Observing everything, sanctioning everything. But Gada Bhrita, by saying Gada Bhrita, he is the active Lord. And he is the Lord personally. He is the Lord personally sitting. As Srinivas Prabhu said, Krishna personally is manifested in the heart. Because the devotee binds Krishna in his heart. So, Veer Raghavacharya, one of the Acharyas of Sri Sampradaya, he says actually this verse is saying that it is quite illogical. Yudhishthira Maharaj is almost telling, Veer Raghavacharya says, Bhavadrisha Bhagavata Swayameva Tirtha Bhuta. Bhagavatas like you are yourself a Tirtha. Pavitra Bhuta, you are yourself so pure. Ataha, therefore, Tirtha Yatra Kritam Pavitratvam Napekshitam Iti Bhava. So there is no purpose for you to go to Tirtha. See, generally we go to Tirtha for what? Purifying ourselves. Suppose you are very clean. You have just taken bath, you are clean. As we call it, Brahmana clean. You are completely clean. After taking bath, you don't put your finger in your nose, mouth, ears like that, or your eyes. Very clean. Is there a need for you then to take another bath again? No, you are clean. This is the logic in the first line. Bhavadvida Bhagavata, Bhagavatas are like you, Artirtha Bhuta, they are already clean. So why did you go? It's useless for you to go. So then he answers, Swantaratmataya avasthitaha gadabhritak shapyati. Because you want that gadabhrita in your heart, you are carrying him. With him you go there, and because of his power, you are able to remove the sins from the place. Narada Muni goes one step forward. In Narada Bhakti Sutras, Narada Muni says in Sutra number 69, he says, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. The saints or the devotees are those who purify the pure places of pilgrimage. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? How can you purify something that is pure? Because these people have deposited so much filth. So the devotees purify that place. But not only that, Swakarmi Kurvanti Karmani, the sutra says. Devotees, they validate what is the valid way of performing devotional service. We only know through books. But the devotees, by their practice, show us what is the real way to perform devotional service. For example, I will give you one example. It says that one should engage everything in the service of Krishna. Yeah? So, Srila Prabhupada wanted to make sure that his disciples actually understand this. So once Prabhupada was in Deutschland. Where's Deutschland? Germany. So Prabhupada was there and he was on a walk with the devotees, morning walk. He was going through a park. And in the park, while he was walking, there was a beautiful, you know, there were some nice, beautiful flowers. It was summer. So Prabhupada looked at the flowers and said, such beautiful flowers. We can use them in the service of Krishna. All devotees said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. The German devotees were there following him. Then Prabhupada was walking and he looked at a beautiful building. Glass building. Prabhupada said, that's such a beautiful building. If we had such a building, we could use that in the service of Krishna. I said, yes, Prabhupada. Prabhupada was walking further and then one German shepherd dog. You've seen German shepherd dog? Yeah, big Alsatian dog. He came running. He was not on the leash. He came running towards Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just waved his stick and said, "Hut!" And the dog just ran away. And Prabhupada said, such a nice, beautiful, big dog. If we had such a dog, we could use him in Krishna's service. And all the devotees said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada stopped, looked at them and said, and how do you propose to do that? So Prabhupada is teaching how to act. How to act, Prabhupada is teaching. We know what is devotional service. Engage everything in Krishna's service. You can't engage a German shepherd. At least in that particular circumstance, Prabhupada didn't think it was, you know, possible. So one has to use their intelligence. So even what is outlined in the Shastra. So the last line that Narad Muni says is, Sat Shastrani Kurvanti Shastrani. A pure devotee is he who authorizes the authorized scriptures. What is the meaning? Scriptures, do they need anyone else's authority? They are Shabda Pramana. They are in itself a pramana. Pramana means authority or proof. They don't need somebody else's authority. But to prove that the Shabda Pramana is correct, the devotees act in a way to show that whatever is said in the scripture is actually reality. For example, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, we see in Antyakhand, we have this Prithvitya Chay Jata Nagaradi Gram Sharbatra Prachara Hoibe Moranam. Every town and village in the world, my name will be sung, Mahaprabhu says. This is in the Shastra. People have been reading this for many, many millennia. Many, many hundreds of years. And they have been wondering, every town and village all over the world, Mahaprabhu's name will be known. How is that possible? Prabhupada made it possible. Isn't it? Prabhupada ki jai. So Prabhupada made it possible. So the scripture has been validated by the pure devotee. This is what the position of a pure devotee is. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explains in one class in Vrindavan, Srimad Bhagavatam class 765 in Vrindavan on 7th of December 1975. In that class he says, he almost compares these devotees to garbage collectors to housekeepers. You see, when the house is filthy, the housekeepers come and they clean up the house, isn't it? So Srila Prabhupada says, because it is said in the Shastra that ordinary men with sinful habits, they come to the Tirtha, holy place, and they actually become purified. But when such sinful garbage is accumulated, who will clear? It will be cleared by the saintly person, by their punya work. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. Again, they make it a tirtha. So, we also find evidence of this in... Can you think of some evidence, very direct evidence in Bhagavatam about this? How a tirtha is made into a tirtha, or tirtha is purified in Bhagavatam? There's one pastime. With this direct conversation. How many of you know of Maharaj Bhagirath? Which canto? Maharaj Bhagirath? Huh? I will give you a hint. He belongs to the Solar dynasty, Surya Vamsha. Yes. All the Solar dynasty kings are described in which canto? 9th canto. And then the lunar dynasty is described in 10th canto. So Ramachandra is described in 9th, Krishna is described in 10th. So Bhagirath Maharaj, he wanted to redeem his ancestors. And so he invited Ganga, Mother Ganga, to come from the spiritual, well, actually from higher planets down to earth. And she had many, many reasons not to come. First reason she gave is, oh, when I come down from Swargaloka, I will come down with so much force. Who will bear the force? Earth will be broken into, shattered into pieces. So Lord Shiva said, okay, first you fall on my jata. And then you go on to earth. But then she said another reason. She said, Canto 9, Chapter 9, verse number 5, she says, Kimchaham na bhuvam yasye. Kimcha, even then, however, na aham bhuvam yasye. I will not come to earth. Even then, even if you find someone who can hold me, I will still not come to earth. Why? Why you will not come? Nara mayam rajantyagam. All the men will come and wash their sins in me. Mrujami tad agham kwaham. So I will become filthy. Mother Ganga is saying, people will dump their sins. Imagine somebody is passing by your house and always putting some garbage on your front door. And imagine you have written, please, welcome, all your garbage welcome. Then you know what, very soon what will happen, your house is, your doorstep is full of garbage. So next question is, who will clear that? So Mother Ganga is asking this question. Mrujami tad agam kvaham? Kvaham, how will I remove that agam, that papa, that sin of people? Rajans tatra vichintayatam. You have to think that. O king, please think and tell me. So what is the reply? Next verse is the reply of King Bhagirath. What is his reply? Very beautiful. Shri Bhagiratho vacha. Bhagirath says, Sadhavo nyasinas shanta. The sadhus and sannyasis, they are very peaceful. Brahmistha. Brahmistha means they are situated in Brahman and they are followers of Vedic principle. Brahmistha lokapavana. They are Brahmistha and they are lokapavana. Lokapavana meaning they purify the three worlds. Harantyagam te angasangat. Here he answers. Haranti te agham. Your agham, your accumulated sin from other people that they have dumped, the garbage that they have dumped. These great souls, te angasangat haranti. Angasangat, anyone knows what it literally means? What is anga? Yes. Sangha means association. Anga means body. Simply by associating, their body associating with you, you will be purified. Teshvastehi agabhidhari. How is that possible? Teshvaste, in them is agabhidhari. Within them, within those great souls, resides Lord Hari, who can take away all the sins. And therefore, simply by being in touch with them. Actually, very deep meanings are there in this verse. When a great personality, when a pure devotee, one comes in touch with the pure devotee, one does not have to even touch that person physically. You know, sometimes we find that our spiritual masters or our some great saints or some senior Vaishnavas, we don't get WhatsApp association. We don't get telephone association. And we think, oh, you know, this is so difficult. But the Shastras say, these devotees, we don't need to have a direct face-to-face association. Even if they look at you, and even if they don't look, even if you look at them, and even if you can't look at them, if you just hear their instruction, even if you can't hear their instruction, you simply remember their instruction, then they have touched you. Then your purification has started. And now we have so many means, audio, books, Prabhupada's books. Through his books, we are already in touch with Prabhupada. If that is the mood in which we approach the books, then Srila Prabhupada will touch our hearts and purify us. So then, even in Narad Bhakti Sutra, the next sutra to the sutra that I quoted, so sutra number 70 says, reply, why these great souls are so powerful? Tanmayah. Because they are full of him. They are full of Krishna. They are completely Krishna conscious. And we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by going to these tirthas, in fact, where the great souls they visit, they convert these tirthas into mahatirthas. Here in Madhya Leela, chapter 9, verse number 4, we already studied this. This is Madhya Leela, chapter 10. In the last chapter, which verse number 4, it says, Shai Shabo Tirthasparshi Mahatirtha Koila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he touched these different tirthas, Tirthasparshi, when he touched the tirthas, Mahatirtha Koila, he made them into Mahatirtha. Shai chale, shai desher, loko nishtarilo. He, on the pretext of going to these tirthas, he delivered so many people. And that is why it is said that coming in touch with a tirtha, physically going to a holy place, is not as powerful as coming in contact with a great soul, with a Bhagavata. You see, sometimes we think that we have to travel long distances, 5,000 miles to India to go to Vrindavan. And only then there is Vrindavan. But that is not true. And if time permits, I'm going to tell you some nice secrets. Yeah. So, the reality is, none of us here have either the adhikar, which means qualification, or the samarthya, which means the ability to see Krishna, to associate with the Lord. How many, anyone in this room has adhikar and samarthya, has qualification and ability to claim that they, on their own ability, have the adhikar to see Krishna or serve Krishna? See, Mataji there is serving Krishna, doing worship. But do we have that adhikar? Do we have that samarthya? Who has that? Raise your hand if anyone is here who claims. No. So, who makes us a adhikari? Who provides us the samarthya? Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, you know, we are preaching, we are going out, and people are accepting the message. And we are wondering, how is this happening? How can we be so powerful? How can we be so convincing? And Srila Prabhupada said, you do not have any power. You do not have any ability. You have no qualification. Then, he says, it is simply on my authority. It is simply on my authority that you are able to do, that you are able to execute. So, it is the authority of the great saints that empower us. Otherwise, we have no adhikar. In fact, we don't even know Krishna. In reality, when Sanatan Goswami, a great personality, when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he had given up the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, and he went and saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tell him? Anyone knows? What was his first reaction, Mahaprabhu's reaction? Yes, David. Huh? Louder. Your humility. Sorry, your Irish is too difficult for me to understand. Yeah. Your humility is killing me. Yes, he said that, but even before that he said, Madhya Lila chapter 20 verse 63, beautiful, he says, Maharaurava hoite toma korilo uddhara. You have been uplifted from falling into Maharaurava, the great hell, Maharaurava. Kripara samudra Krishna gambhira apara. Krishna is an ocean, samudra, kripara samudra. He is ocean of kripa. Krishna is an ocean of compassion. And by his compassion you have been saved from the great hell. Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatan Goswami. Because now Sanatan Goswami is free from the service of Hussain Shah. In reply, what is Sanatan Goswami saying? This is very beautiful. Sanatan Goswami says, Sanatana kohe. Sanatan Goswami says, Krishna ami nahi jani. Ami Krishna janina. I don't know who Krishna is. Mahaprabhu is saying, Krishna has saved you. In reply, Sanatan Goswami says, Krishna has saved me. I don't know who is Krishna. Krishna ami nahi jani. Amara uddhara hetu tomara kripa mani. I simply consider your mercy. Your mercy. To be the cause of my redemption. I don't know who Krishna is. Actually, that is the situation for all of us. We are here. I'm giving class. Oh, because I'm very learned, I'm very scholarly, I have read so many books. This is nonsense, useless. It is on the authority of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas that we have any ability at all to speak. We have no personal individual qualification. I don't know who Krishna is. I don't know. In fact, our faith is so weak. If something happens in our life, we start questioning, why me, Krishna? Why me? Our faith is so weak. So for us, to approach Krishna is nearly impossible. It is only by the grace of the Mahabhagavatas, like Srila Prabhupada, we are able to approach the Lord. In fact, in Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings this, Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite para. Krishna is yours, so you can give Krishna. Suppose you come and ask me, Prabhu, I desperately need some money. Please give me some money. I say, okay, how much? Give me 5,000 pounds. Give me 5,000 pounds. I say, 5,000 pounds? And give me right now. I said, right now? And give me in cash. In cash? I open my pockets. I don't have 5,000 pounds. I cannot give. What we don't possess, we cannot give. I don't possess Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prema. How I can give anyone else? On the authority of the great saints, I can. Individually, I'm a beggar. Here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Vaishnav, you possess Krishna. Krishna is your possession. If you have 5,000 pounds cash in your pocket, you can give. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna Shetomar, Krishna is yours. Krishna Dite Paro, you are able to give me Krishna. Tomara Shakati Ache, you have that Shakti, you have that power to give Krishna. Because you have Krishna, you can give Krishna. Ami Tokangala, I am simply a beggar. I have nothing. Amita Kangala, Krishna Krishna Kori. You know, like a beggar, if you've been to India, so many countries in the world they beg, but in India if you've been, anywhere you see beggars, they say, 10 rupiah, 10 rupiah, 10 rupiah, 5 rupees, 5 rupees. If they think you are a foreigner, they'll say, 100 rupees, 100 rupees, they say. What they are begging is what they apparently don't have, we have to assume. Now some beggars in India, they have a syndicate and they have a big bank balances also. But anyway, we remove that from the equation. Apparently a beggar is one who does not, who asks for something they don't possess. So the only thing they say is what? 10 rupiah, 10 rupiah. Or they say 100 rupees, 100 rupees. On their mouth, in their heart, in their mind, there is only one thing. What? 100 rupees. They are begging. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he is simply a beggar. He is exemplifying all of us. And he is saying, Amita Kangala, I am a beggar. Krishna Krishna Kori. And that is why on my mouth there is only one word. Because I am a beggar, I can only have one word on my mouth. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So hearing that word, you might give me Krishna. And what do the beggars do? What do a beggar, does a beggar do in India? How many of you have experienced beggars in India? Raise your hand. What does a beggar do? Mataji. When a beggar... No, I'm talking to you. Dhamavasi, yes. Asking for money, but you tell them, I don't have money. They go away. What do they do? They follow you. Yeah. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Amito Kangala, Krishna Krishna Kori, Daya Tava Pache Pache. I keep running behind you. Give me Krishna, give me Krishna, give me Krishna. This is the great ability of a Vaishnava. Living tirthas are more powerful than the tirthas that are places of pilgrimage. In fact, one more beautiful pastime of how sadhus are tirtha. And before the pastime, maybe I would like to share Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own realization from Kalyana Kalpataru. Beautiful. It's in Bengali. Just bear with me. I will be very quick. But it is very, very deep. And you will appreciate. How many of you think Vrindavan is only the land which is in and around, you know, Delhi, near Delhi? Is that the only Vrindavan? How many of you think Bhaktivedanta Manor is Vrindavan? Okay, those of you who have raised your hand, you know there is a little stream of water that is going through behind the George Harrison Garden. You have seen ever? Yeah? If you go around, you will see. What is that stream called? Huh? Yamuna. Is it really called that? No, you made it up. Yeah. But it is. Because, on whose authority are we saying this? Please listen to this. Very beautiful. In Kalyana Kalpataru, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Mana tumi tirthe sadarata. My mind, you always want to go to a tirtha. Which tirtha? Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya, Kashi, Kanchi, Abhantiya. You want to go to all these tirthas. You want to go to Mathura, Ayodhya, Maya. Maya here refers to Haridwar. Kashi, Kanchi, and Avantika refers to Ujjain. You want to always go to these places. Your mind, oh mind. Dwarabati ara ache jata. And you want to go to Dwarka also. And so many other places. Tumi chaha brahmi bare eshakala bare bare. You desire, tumi chaha. You desire brahmi bare eshakala bare bare. You are desiring that you go to these tirthas again and again, again and again. Now, mukti labha kori baratare. Why you want to go there? Because you want mukti, because you want liberation. Sheshakala taba brahma. This is a slap. Imagine a man is saying, oh, I desire to go to Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Ayodhya. He is talking to some person and the person in return gives him a tight slap. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. He is saying, you stupid fool, this is all your illusion. This is the reply. He is saying, Sheshakala Taba Brahma. Brahma means illusion. You are an illusion. You want to go to these places? Nirarthaka Parishrama. Useless endeavor. This is very counterintuitive, right? Nirarthaka parishrama chitta sthira tirthe nahi kore. You are not, your mind is not fixed in tirtha. You want to just physically go to the tirtha. Tirtha phala sadhu sangha. Tirtha phala. To go to tirtha, what is the fruit of going to tirtha? Sadhu Sangha, Tirtha Phala Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha Antaranga. If you do Sadhu Sangha, your heart inside will be cleansed. Shri Krishna Bhajana Manohara. And you will perform Krishna Bhajan, which will steal away your mind. This is only through Sadhu Sangha. That is the real Tirtha, fruit of Tirtha. Now, you might say, okay, but not all places there are sadhus, not all tirthas. So he says, Jatha sadhu tatha tirtha, sthira kori nija chitta. Understand that wherever there is a saint, that is tirtha. Wherever there are saintly people, that is tirtha. Sadhu sangha koro nirantara. Therefore, just do sadhu sangha continuously. Je tirthe vaishnava nai. If you go to a tirtha and there is no Vaishnava there, जे तीर्थे वैष्णव नाई से तीर्थे ते नाही जाई. डोंट गो टू दैट तीर्थ. की लाभ हाथियो दूर देश. What is the point of running to far off country? Jathai Vaishnava Gana Sei Sthana Vrindavana. What is Vrindavan? Definition of Vrindavan? Jathai Vaishnava Gana Sei Sthana Vrindavana. Wherever there is Vaishnavas, that is Vrindavan. Sei Sthane Ananda Shesha. That is the place you find unlimited bliss. Krishna Bhakti Jai Sthane Mukti Dasi Seikhane. Wherever there is Krishna Bhakti, Mukti Devi is running there as a Dasi. Dasi means a maid servant. One who is performing devotional service, who is performing Bhakti, Mukti will become that person's maid servant. Because mukti is very tuchha, very lowly compared to bhakti. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna bhakti jai sthane mukti dashi shekhane. That place where there is Krishna bhakti, mukti is like a maid servant there. Shalila tathaya mandakini. Shalila, the water flowing in that place, is Mandakini. Mandakini? Ganga. So that place, the pond is Ganga. The pond water you can sprinkle on your head, it is like Ganga. Gokulananda is here. The devotees are here. That pond is not a filthy pond that you see with your eyes. Giri tatha gobardhana Bhumi tatha Vrindavana. Any hillock, any small hillock you see is Govardhan. And any land you see around is Vrindavan. Abirbhuta apani ladini. And the ladini shakti is personally present here. Binoda kohi che bhai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, oh bhai, Oh, dear brother, dear sister. Brahmiya ki phalapai. What is the fruit that you will get by going around so many places? Vaishnava shevana mora brata. My only vow is to serve the Vaishnavas and take their association. Even we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Ishwarapuri in, where did he meet Ishwarapuri? In? Gaya. In Gaya, when he did Pitru Tarpan, he went for Pitru Tarpan, he met Ishwarapuri. And what does Mahaprabhu say? He says, Ato eva tirtha nahe tomara samana. There is no tirtha like you. He's already in a tirtha, but he's telling Ishwarapuri, actually, there is no other tirtha like you. Tirthero paramatumi mangala pradhana. Amongst all the tirtha, you are the main tirtha. This is how. Now, I will tell you some secrets and then we will finish the class. So, tirtha, when we are speaking of tirtha, when speaking of Vrindavan, and for us, amongst all the tirthas, Mayapur and Vrindavan, actually they are non-different. Mayapur is Vrindavan, Vrindavan is Mayapur. There is no difference. So, let us say, Braj, Vrindavan, is the highest because the Lord performed all his pastimes there. How many types of Vrindavan are there? And I will tell you, in the order, one which is the most unmanifest is the most unreachable, and one which is the most manifest is the most reachable. So how many types of Vrindavan are there? Somebody might even wonder, what is the question? I don't understand the question. You understand the question? Yes. How many types of Vrindavan are there? Somebody said? Five types, yes. What are the five types of Vrindavan? The Vrindavan Dham in the eternal spiritual sky is called Golok Vrindavan. It is so far away. We are in the material world. The spiritual world, there is a eternal place called Golok Vrindavan where the Lord eternally resides. That is one. Correct. Then, next. Yeah, Bhauma Vrindavan. Bhauma Vrindavan is actually referred to as that Vrindavan which appeared on earth or which is in on earth when the Lord appeared 5,000 years ago. That is, technically that is Bhauma Vrindavan. It is the Vrindavan which is where all the pastimes took place. So it is the same Vrindavan where we go to. It is the same place. But the place we go to is the third type of Vrindavan. It is called Prakatita Vrindavan. Prakatita Vrindavan means that which is seen by our eyes now. And this which is seen by our eyes now is Vrindavan which is covered. Because when you go to Vrindavan, and you can't just go to Vrindavan with your own, you know, desire. One great British officer, I forget his name, he was hired by the East India Company, and he went to Delhi. And in Delhi, he was very curious and interested on the life of the natives. So he said, these natives, these aborigines, heathens, pagans, you know, they are not civilized. But just like these Muslims have their Mecca, I'm sure the Hindus have some place which they consider to be like Mecca. So he was asking around and he was told that because he's in Delhi, he said, there isn't quite one place like Mecca for the Hindus, but if you want to come close, it is Mathura. So this British officer said, yeah, I will go and check it out. What is this place, Mathura? This place of these heathens. And he boarded the train from Delhi. And Mathura is not very far from Delhi. So, few stops and then he reached Mathura. And as soon as the train stopped at Mathura, he offboarded, he came off the train. And with his head high, adjusting his hat and with his stick in his hand, you know, suited, booted, nicely traveling the first class compartment. Because there was first class, second class and third class. So Indians and dogs were not allowed in the first class compartment. It said there, Indians and dogs not allowed. So he was trying to get off his first class compartment. As soon as he took the first step, because his head was high, took his first step, his boots sunk into gobar. Gobar, you understand? Cow dung. And it splashed on him, the gobar. It must be nice, fresh gobar. Some cow must have laid it there just to welcome him. So it splashed on him and he became so irritated. He said, is this the holy place of the heathens? And he put the same train, he took the same train up. And he went back. Yeah. And then after many years, through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching in London, he somehow got in touch with the Gaudiya Math and he read the books of Bhakti Vinod and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was too old by then, 80, 90 years old. He could not travel to India. And he had so many health issues. And I forget his name now. And then he wrote in his diary, I wish I had the divine vision. I wish I had the Guru and his blessings to be able to enter Vrindavan. Nobody can enter Vrindavan. Nobody can understand Vrindavan without the blessings of Guru and the Vaishnavas. And then he asked a question to one of the sadhus of Gaudiya Math. How come? I was so upset with that episode and I really looked down upon Mathura as the filthiest place. How come I became devotee? How come I am chanting Hare Krishna after all these years? So that Vaishnava, he said, yes, you were very upset with Mathura, but somehow or the other, at least your left foot touched the land of Mathura. That was enough for you to become a Vaishnava. Such is the power of this Bhumi, Braj Bhumi. So three types we discuss: Golok Vrindavan, Bhauma Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, where pastimes of Krishna happened, Prakatita Vrindavan. But even Prakatita Vrindavan, we cannot just go. Yeah. Then there is Gupta Vrindavan. Fourth category. Gupta Vrindavan is Vrindavan that is manifested by the great Vaishnavas, pure devotees. They can, wherever they are in the world, they can make Vrindavan. They can build their own Vrindavan, and they can, it is because of their mood, Braj mood, that that place becomes Vrindavan. Many olden day examples are there. Sanatan Goswami and Rup Goswami were not allowed to leave Hussain Shah's Darbar. They could not leave. So in Ramkeli, they made Gupta Vrindavan. In their house, they made a Govardhan Hill. And then they made Ashtasakhi Kund. Eight kundas. They made Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. And they would do Parikrama of Giriraj, which was actually a replica in their own house. But that replica, because of the devotion, the Braj devotion that they possessed, that replica was non-different from Vrindavan. This is Ramakeli, Sanatan and Rup Goswami. Any other examples you can think of? Any other example? Yes. Yes. That is also nice, yes. But we'll go sequentially. So, Rasikananda Prabhu, who is non-different from Uddhava, in Balasor, he also made Gupta Vrindavan. Then the king of Jaipur, Jai Singh II, he also made Kanaka Vrindavan. When the deities were, because of Aurangzeb's atrocities, when the deities were left Braj Bhumi and they were brought to Jaipur, he said, how can the deities live here in this place? So he created a Vrindavan called Kanaka Vrindavan for those deities. That is also non-different from Vrindavan. Then, how many of you have been to Chaitanya Gaudiya Math next to ISKCON in Mayapur? It's not, when I say next, it is not next. It's on the same road. Chaitanya Gaudiya Math was built by whom? Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself. How many of you have been there? Yes. Have you been to Radhakund, Shyam Kund over there? Giriraj over there? And if you go there, they will say, if you do 4 parikrama of Giriraj here, it is as good as doing parikrama of Giriraj in Braj. Because Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally built that Vrindavan. So great saints, because of their bhava, they can build this Vrindavan. Then, our Srila Prabhupada, When he was in America, he said, Vrindavan should come to America. So he built New Vrindavan. He named the community New Vrindavan Farm, New Vrindavan Community. And then we know many current modern day New Vrindavans are also there. Navabraja Dham, where is that? In Hungary. Navabraja Dham is in Hungary. Is actually a replica of Vrindavan. Non-different from Vrindavan. Similarly, Govardhan Eco Village, if you go there, there is Giriraj, there is Yamuna. Every evening there is Yamuna Aarti. There is Shyam Kund, Radha Kund. It's worth visiting these places. New Braja Dham, Govardhan Eco Village. These are Gupta Vrindavan. Why are they called Gupta Vrindavan? Gupta means what? Hidden. 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 Hidden because these Vrindavans are not known to the general public. Only few know about it. There is one more Vrindavan, which is the highest Vrindavan. First is Goloka. Second is Bhauma. Third is Prakatita. Fourth is Gupta. Fifth is? Yes. Hridayastha Vrindavan. Vrindavan in the heart of the devotee. See, one is in every situation. How do you know Vrindavan is in the heart of the devotee? In every situation, if he connects that situation to Vrindavan, then Vrindavan is in the heart of that devotee. Vrindavan is not in our heart if we are not able to connect every situation to Vrindavan. When you look at a tree, you are thinking of Vrindavan. When you're looking at a stream, you're thinking of Yamuna. When you're looking at a mountain, you're thinking of Govardhan. Then Vrindavan is in your heart. So, this, I'll give you one nice pastime of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in South America and he was giving a class. And in South America, there are big mosquitoes. Even in Mauritius, big mosquitoes, not like India, tiny, big mosquitoes. Prabhupada was giving class early in the morning, Bhagavatam, and he was giving the class outside, in the open. And it's still a little twilight, so the mosquitoes are still around. And the mosquitoes are attacking all the devotees. And so all the devotees who are sitting there listening to Prabhupada, for a change nobody is sleeping. But they are all twitching and they're all slapping their wrist and they're all, you know, moving. They're not focusing. And Prabhupada is still, absolutely still and absorbed and he's speaking. And he opens his eyes and he sees everyone is dancing. What is going on? So Prabhupada interrupts and he comes out of his, you know, mood of katha and he just says, what is this disturbance? So one devotee who is sitting next to Prabhupada, he says, Prabhupada, there are so many mosquitoes here, big, big mosquitoes. They are all attacking us and biting us. And Prabhupada says, And then the devotee says, but Prabhupada, we see that no mosquito is approaching you. Not even one mosquito is approaching you. Because you are divine, he says. Because you are spiritual. Immediately Prabhupada replies, that may be so, but in Vrindavan they make no distinction. In Vrindavan they make no distinction. So they bite Prabhupada also. So again, even apparent situation like that, Prabhupada is able to connect to Vrindavan. Prabhupada said so many times, Vrindavan is my home. Now, I will finish by saying how we can become Tirthas or we can become Brajvasis. So there are 7 ways one can become Brajvasi. The highest way is the latter way. The most, I will say, transactional way is the first. I will tell you the highest, late, last, and the most transactional first. Although, all these 7 ways of being a Brajvasi will categorize one as Brajvasi. Like, for example, everyone can be a citizen of the UK. All people may say we are citizens of the UK. But some people are ministers, someone is a prime minister, someone is in the opposition party, so many different positions are there, different levels, gradations are there. So different gradations are there of this Brajvas also. How many of us want to become Brajvasis? Raise our hand. Oh, what about the others? Yeah. We should all endeavor to become Brajvasi. Would you like to know how to become Brajvasi? 7 ways one can be considered to be a Brajvasi. This is according to Shastra. First, someone who is born in Braj is a Brajvasi. So you might say, oh, what about the monkeys? When I go to Vrindavan, so many monkeys. Yeah, they are Brajvasis. In fact, Skanda Puran says that when the monkeys, they were in Ramchandra's army, they worked very hard and they also were engaged in fighting. And after the war, Ramchandra went to Ayodhya. The monkeys followed him. But they were not that happy. They said, we didn't really enjoy with Ramchandra. There was no real enjoyment, you know, playful. Monkeys are playful. So they went to Ramchandra and said, you know, we were expecting our relation to be more playful. Now you are a king. King cannot play with monkeys. So Ramchandra says, don't worry. When I appear again as Krishna, you will all appear again as my friends and will play. So Dadhiloba and other monkeys, they are, this is in Skanda Puran, it says they are from Ram Leela, they have come back in form of monkeys. So monkeys are also Brajvasi. What about the pigs in Vrindavan? They are also Brajvasi. What about somebody who is not a devotee? They may be Christian, Muslim, Sikh, whatever, born in Vrindavan, they are Brajvasi. However, their immediate destination after death is not Goloka. I don't want to go into that discussion because those discussions will take a long time. But they are Brajvasis. At least we have to respect them as Brajvasis. Second, one can become Brajvasi by somehow or the other. See, Janma, birth, you cannot control. We have already been born. Now we cannot say that, oh, I want to born. I should have been born in Braj. That is not possible. Mrityu, somebody who dies in Braj is a Brajvasi. If anyone dies in Braj, he is a Brajvasi. Third, even if somebody doesn't die in Braj, but their Antyeshti Samskar, if their cremation has happened in Braj, or after they have been cremated, their ashes are put in Yamuna and Braj, they become Brajvasi. But that is not the highest category, Brajvasi. I told you, this is from the lowest to the highest. Fourth, if one performs any samskara in Braj, any one samskara, there are 16 samskaras, from Garbhodhan samskara to Antyeshti samskara. 16, 21, 2 different types are there. We say 16, let's say. So, suppose you give name to some child, Namakarana Samskar, you do that in Braj. Or you do Chudakarana, you shave their head for the first time in Braj. Or you do your marriage in Braj, Biva Samskar in Braj. Any of these samskaras you do in Braj, you become Brajvasi. It is another category, not the highest. Next, now the next 3, 5, 6 and 7 are really, truly Brajvasis. Number 6, One who does Nitya Seva is always serving Brajvasis, or the land of Braja is a Brajvasi. For example, you can't go there, you are here, but you are making some donation for some Goshala Seva in Braj, or you are serving some Brajvasi, or you are helping build some temple there. You get connected in that way, and that's Nitya Seva. It's not a one-off. It's a continuous Seva. Then you are a Brajvasi. Higher than that is if you can stay in Braj and serve the devotees and serve the Dham without committing aprad, that is higher, then you are a Brajvasi. But to just like when you, now I think, if you come to the UK and you stay here for 7 years, you get British passport. So similarly, there is a minimum period to stay in Braj, it is 12 years. If you stay in Braj for 12 years, continuously as your main residence, then you become Brajvasi. But there is one which is the highest form of Brajvas, and that is one who always carries Krishna in their heart, is, and who carries Vrindavan in their heart, is the highest Brajvasi. And Prabhupada wanted us all to become that Brajvasi, that Tirtha, by always meditating on Krishna and keeping Krishna in our heart. We are chanting externally Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Internally, we could meditate on Krishna in our heart, meditate on the heart as a beautiful throne, and invite the Lord to that throne. He is sitting along with Srimati Radharani. We are offering Him bhoga. We are offering Him aarti. In our mind we can meditate. And always meditate Krishna being in our heart. Now some of you might say, well, Prabhupada taught us anything like this? So I will definitely finish with this. Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 13, Verse 10, which is this verse. Yeah. Prabhupada's class on June 1st, 1974 in Geneva. I will just read, it will take 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes. Part of the class, towards the end, Prabhupada says, therefore, every one of you should become pure devotee, first class devotee. In this age, it has been made very easy. Simply keep yourself clean, follow the four regulative principles, and chant Hare Krishna. Then you will be able to become first-class devotees. And wherever you will go, you will be able to purify there. Wherever you go, wherever you speak, wherever you will sit, so keep this spiritual strength intact. Tirtha Bhutaha. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani swantasthena gadabhrata. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting means keeping Krishna always within your heart. It is not expensive at all, Prabhupada says. He says it is not expensive at all. You haven't got to make a very exalted throne for Krishna. You can imagine, Prabhupada uses these words, you can imagine that in my heart I have placed now a diamond throne and Krishna is sitting. That is accepted, Prabhupada says. Actually, it becomes like that, if you imagine like that. Even within the, when Prabhupada says imagine, he actually, I think the intention is meditate that way. Even within the mind, you think, I have kept one diamond throne, very costly throne, please, because Krishna is coming, He will sit down here. That is not false. That is a fact. So you create such a situation within your heart. Now Krishna has seated. Let me wash His feet with the Ganga water. Yamuna water. Now I change his dress to first class costly garments. Then I decorate with ornaments. Then I give him something for eating. You can simply think of this. This is meditation. So Prabhupada is practically saying, you can meditate like this. Swantasthena gadabhrita, Prabhupada says. Then, it is such a nice thing. Anywhere you can sit down and think that Krishna is sitting in your heart and you are receiving him in such a nice way. That is not false. That is a fact. It is so easy. If you simply carry Krishna within your heart, always in devotional service, exalted devotional service, and chant Hare Krishna and think of Krishna, wherever you go, you will purify the whole place. Swantasthena gadabhrita. It is a fact. It is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Try to remain in your position as devotee and as far as possible. Prabhupada has to come to this always. He says, try to remain, purify the place. You will always purify. Then he says, try to remain in your position as devotee and as far as possible. Teach these rascals who are simply attracted by the glaring material stones and woods and let them have some knowledge and do benefit to your countrymen, to your society, to your family. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ends the class. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. He was always, his heart was always in Sankirtan movement, in giving Krishna to others. Because that is real Tirtha. He's going and purifying the whole world. Yeah, because I read this, one pastime just comes to my mind of Prabhupada. Very nice, very short pastime. There was a person called Gopal Ghosh in Vrindavan, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was in his room in Radha Damodar. And he was... he was translating Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada was translating Bhagavad Gita in English in Radha Damodar. And this Gopal Ghosh came to meet him. So Gopal Ghosh is Bengali, of course. And Prabhupada was writing with a very nice American Parker pen. Parker, you know Parker fountain pen? Yeah, P-A-R-K-E-R, Parker fountain pen. Black colored pen. Prabhupada was using that fountain pen. And it said Parker. Yeah. So, Prabhupada said, when he was writing, this Gopal Ghosh came inside and he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this is nice pen. Actually, those days they used to refer to him as Swamiji. So, Swamiji, this is nice pen. And Prabhupada said, yes, I'm using it to promote the Sankirtan movement. You know what is the name of this pen? And then Gopal Ghosh asked, Prabhupada said, Parkor. He's Bengali, he's laughing. Par means to cross. Kor means which does, which helps you to cross over. So Prabhupada said, the name of this pen is Parkor, which means in Bengali it means to cross over. I'm using this pen to translate this book, and through this Sankirtan of reading this book, Sankirtan means to distribute the message of Krishna, to increase his kirti, is kirtana. To increase the kirti, the glories of Lord is kirtana. So Sankirtana by books, writing books, distributing books, that is Sankirtana. So Prabhupada said, this pen is helping me in the Sankirtana, and through this pen, parkar meaning, we will get over this material world. So Prabhupada always connected everything to Sankirtan. Yeah. So anyway, many pastimes are there. But thank you very much. Shrila Prabhupada ki. Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Any comments, corrections, questions? Maybe one or two if there is any. No? Thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.